Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Third Thursday podcast with your hosts, Harry Ozarek and Ben McEntee, where we hope to connect, encourage, and equip student ministry leaders of today. This is a resource provided by the Rocky Mountain District of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and you can find us on all major podcast platforms. Please hit the like, subscribe, and share buttons to help others be connected, encouraged, and equipped to reach students with the gospel. Here are your hosts, Harry and Ben.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Third Thursday podcast. It's great to be with you, Ben, once again. Thanks for joining.
Yes, it's so good to be here. Harry, love it. And my name is Ben McEntee. I am not Phil Stombaugh. Lots of people think that Phil Stombaugh and I are the same person, but we are not. We are a different
People.
We're not related or anything.
Yep. But if you get around each other, I start seeing double.
It's true. I am Ben McEntee. I'm happy to be here.
Oh man, it's so good to do this podcast with you, Ben. Our topic of the day is curriculum or hard pass. All right, that's the topic of the day today, and we're looking forward to chatting with you about that. But first, as always, we want to start with something fun or light or meaningful. And today, we're looking at March Madness. March Madness is coming up. And for those of you listening that goes, what kind of madness happens in March? The NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament is what happens in March. A bunch of teams, 64-plus teams, come together in a tournament with the hopes of finishing champion of the United States.
Yeah.
Anticlimactic. Yeah. Anticlimactic. It is madness because you have 64 teams, single elimination tournament. All right, it's great. And it's pretty wild. And so I've done some things in my youth ministry to have fun around this time and bring those that are mad over this tournament. Okay, they're mad over it. And those that could care less about it, just like our listeners right now, there's some listening going, why are we talking about this? And there's other listening going, I'm so happy someone mentioned it on a podcast.
Someone's talking to me right now.
But have you done something with your youth around March Madness before, Ben?
Yes. Not all the time, but last night we had youth group and I did play a game. I got off Download Youth Ministry. We're not sponsored by them or anything, but they have good stuff.
They do.
And it was called Trasketball Trivia.
Oh.
And it was just silly. Here's what I learned. One, it was a ridiculous game because the questions were very difficult. You had to really know NC2A basketball to get it. And none of my students did, but we still made it fun. And I did ask one student, she came up and I said, what is March Madness? And they don't know. They have no idea, which was awesome. March Madness, I've never done a bracket. I've never done any of that, but I love to watch it myself. And, it's in the zeitgeist, as it were. So bringing it into youth group and doing a little something has been fun.
It's a big word. That's too big of a word for me, Ben.
Zeitgeist?
So March Madness, I look at it as I have some youth that could care less and some youth that are dying for it. They're mad for it, like we said earlier. And so a lot of years I'll do a bracket challenge. And what I love about that is there are a lot of people, a lot of my youth and some of my adults, adult leaders, that don't know any of the teams, don't know anything. And wouldn't you believe that majority of the time, guess who wins? Guess who wins the bracket challenge? The person that knows everything or the person that is like, why am I filling this thing out?
I thought you were just prepping me to go, you, Harry, you win every time.
No, I don't. I lose. No, it's usually the person that doesn't know. And that's what I love about it. It's really an evening activity, meaning you can know a ton and you can know none, and yet you still somehow can come out on top. And I absolutely Love it. Love it.
You think that there's some students are doing it and they have no idea. Like they don't even know of like the four teams.
I explain the rankings. I don't leave anyone just out in the cold. Yeah. I explain the rankings and number one teams are considered the better teams and number 16 teams are considered the worst teams and so on and so forth. And you can pick upsets, but if you do, there's a chance you might not get it. Right. But at the end, I'm telling you, almost every year, the person that won was the person that was like, I don't even know, so I'm just writing stuff in. And they win.
I love it. Hey, you know what? On this year, because you were saying when you do it, have one. What if someone gets them all wrong?
I'll have a prize for that.
A prize for that's all great. Wrong.
They I'll make it the biggest prize.
All losses.
0 points.
Yeah.
0 points. Yeah. I mean, that's impressive.
That would be as impressive as getting them all right.
Yeah. So you basically what you're saying is how a bracket works, right? Is if they lose, then they don't play ever again, right? So you would be looking to not have one team that you selected move on to the next round. So you'd have to be perfect in your losses in the first round.
In the first round.
Because if you had any team move on.
In their losses on the first round.
That's a good idea. You heard it here first. A new March Madness lose it all bracket challenge. So I usually do like a little gift card, whether it's DQ or Amazon or whatever, a little $5, $10, $20 gift card for first, second, and third. So I have a lot of fun with it with the kids. And again, it's hilarious. The kids that know everything about it and then they lose really do like, they're like, how did they win?
Yeah.
I'm like, just the way it goes. It's a good life lesson, honestly.
Absolutely. And I just think March Madness, again, whether you know it or you don't, it is in. People are talking about it. Yeah. And it's just a fun, silly thing to be able to do something fun with your students. Yep. And it's good stuff.
I love it too. I have some youth that come back and they're like, I know about March Madness and it came up and I got it right. You know, they're at school or something like that. I knew nothing and now I know something about March Madness. So yeah, it's pretty fun. So again, our topic of the day today is curriculum or hard pass. And Ben, what kind of curriculums have you used in the past? Is there a favorite of yours? What kind of types have you used and so on and so forth?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, curriculum I've used in over 10 years in ministry, I've used Orange in the past. Mm-hmm. I've used True Identity, which is by David C. Cook.
Yeah, yeah. I know that one.
I've used again, this is for youth, but I've used D6 for children's ministry. I currently am using that at our church, right?
Okay. So, I don't know about that one.
You know, that was from Mel. She shared that with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So D6. I haven't looked at any of their youth stuff, but their children's stuff is quality. And
does D6 stand for a larger name?
Deuteronomy 6.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've done one-offs, right? Just found things through different websites and pastors and churches and stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
So that when it comes to curriculum, all over the map, really.
Yeah, right. And same thing for me. I've used, Download Youth Ministry. You mentioned that earlier. And no paid advertising here on the Third Thursday podcast. But Download Youth Ministry is usually a very, very good source. And then Youth Cartel. There was a time that the Alliance Youth was partnered with Youth Cartel and great resources there. We've done some subscription where you pay for the year and then you get curriculum, and so then you inherit their scope and sequence, their theme, and how their overall story arc, if you will, throughout the year of kind of where you're going, and then some where you do it yourself. And what have you seen as the pros or the cons of the different types? Because they're everywhere. I feel like you're swimming in an ocean most of the time of what am I going to do for curriculum, and the options are endless. Like what have you seen when you're trying to select a curriculum?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, I think for me right now, just in my current context, I am not using curriculum very often in my youth ministry. I'm creating my own content, and that is good. It takes a lot of work to do that. And I'm happy to do it. But sometimes I need a break from that, and a good solid curriculum that I can find and use then frees me up to be able to do that.
A good 3-part or 4-part little mini series, if you
exactly,
will.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I typically use curriculum for topical things myself. I know there's good biblical books of the Bible curriculum, but I'm right now I'm generally doing like one-offs if I need a Wednesday just to do that. So, but when curriculum works, then really is this for me? Curriculum works when if I need some extra time and I find something solid where I can just go and use that, and because sometimes like a week gets really busy or a time gets busy and I go, I need a break.
Right.
And it also, when curriculum works too, is if you have some leaders who you want to be able to have an opportunity to teach.
Yep.
And then you go, here it is. This is canned and ready for
Give
you.
Give them opportunities. Yep.
Yes. And I've even used that for students too. And then I work with them, of course, but that's when it's good. So I think curriculum works for me when it's a blend, when I blend it in throughout the year with my own stuff, right? And that's for me in my context.
Yeah.
What about for you? When does curriculum work?
Yeah. For us, we've again kind of hit all the different types that we talked about already.
Right.
I didn't mention for our kids, we use the Discovery Land Alliance kids ministry curriculum, which is phenomenal. I would recommend that to anybody, anywhere, forever for kids ministry curriculum. Again, Discovery Land Alliance kids min curriculum. What I love about it in part is it has a whole missions component that's built right into it. So our kids are memorizing scripture and doing all the good things of understanding what the Bible says about who they are and what they're called to be and all that. But there's also this underlying rhythm of God's doing ministry way beyond just in this building or in this town or in this state or in this country. And it's so much fun to see a small person's mind, right? A little kid's mind, like start thinking and imagining what the world looks like from their point of view, their vantage point. Just this kid here in this church in this town, and God's doing ministry way over there. That's like forever away, you know? And so I love that. We also use Right Now Media. As a church, we have a subscription with Right Now Media. Mm-hmm. And again, no paid advertisements, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that. If you as a church don't have a Right Now Media subscription, highly encourage you to at least look into it with your board and your elders. There is a huge amount of resources, and you as a church would get the subscription, and then you can offer it free to all of your awesome church people. So everyone who comes to your church can participate for free, and it looks just kind of like Netflix, except it's all the best of all Christian Bible studies and things like that. So our Sunday morning youth going deeper time, a lot of times we'll utilize Right Now Media.
Right.
And so those are series that are usually like 12 weeks long and so on and so forth. So we've done a whole gambit. We've used Think Orange in the past, used Download Youth Ministry, Youth Cartel, done it on our own. Youth Cartel one was really fun because I got a bunch of different series, and they had a bunch on biblical, more like looking through a specific book of the Bible, and then they also had more topical. And so what that allowed me to do is I could take the series, and what I did is I went back and forth. So I did a book of the Bible, then I did a topical, book of the Bible, topical.
Right.
And organized them in a way that created this story arc where we began the year more in the identity phase, and finished the year in the calling. What are we, now that we understand who we are in Christ, who he is, what we're meant to be, and all that good stuff, and then we were able to finish the year with, where are we going now with our faith, in the sense of reaching the lost? And there's a lot in between those two. And so that was a lot of fun. So I would say it definitely, there's no one size fits all to anybody. And when we're talking about topical and biblical, I think sometimes we can get caught or stuck in, we have to only go through books of the Bible, or if I don't do topical, my students aren't going to pay attention, right? So what have you seen in that space?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing you say, Harry, is that you take curriculum and you found it, and then you tweak it and adjust it and you make it work for your students. We go, absolutely, at the beginning of the year, I want to start with identity, and then in the Lord, and then go over this arc, and by the end of the year, I've created this nice flow where you are guiding the students through this curriculum and making it work for your students to get to that end goal of focusing on Jesus, on who he is, and how we can have a better relationship with him. And I think that's how curriculum works. You don't just take the curriculum wholesale and just take it and go, I'm going to use this. You tweak it and you make it work for you. You can rearrange it. You can take parts out. You can ditch a whole week of lessons if you go, this just isn't for us. For whatever reason, you can do that. And you make it fit thematically, which is what you were doing.
That's what I would say is the most important thing when you're approaching a curriculum is, where does God have you going this year?
Asking
that question first and foremost, and taking time to pray, to discuss with your leaders, where does God have us as a youth ministry going this year? And deciding on what is this theme that we're shooting for, or this rhythm that we're looking at wanting to go through. And then looking at curriculum will help you really be able to say yes and no to different things.
Absolutely. Yep. No, I love that. And I think that's an excellent framework to use curriculum. And it does beg the question, right? If you're listening to this and you're serving youth, and maybe you are using curriculum, and the question is, when is it a good time to break away from curriculum here or there and to inject some of your own lessons or teachings or series? And I think when a good time to do that is when you know that there's an issue or something that's happening in your youth group that desperately needs to be discussed.
Yes, brought to light.
And you know exactly, you're being pastoral. You know the touch points and those sensitive areas in your group as a whole where you need to gently and pastorally point to it, right? Absolutely. In a loving but a judicious way, and say,
yes,
this is something we need to look at and address as a group. And for me, in my youth group, it was gossip. We did a series on gossip. Because we needed to address that. And actually, when we did that, that was the one time where I went to a curriculum, really. but when you need to break away from curriculum is when you need to address your group specifically.
Yep.
And you could still, like I did, find a good curriculum to hit that mark. But I tweaked it to make it work in a way for my group. So I would say, if you're a youth pastor and you're using curriculum, that's awesome. Yep. But stretch yourself and begin thinking about, what are some topics or biblical studies that I would love to do?
Yeah.
And begin that process. I think that's good stuff.
And I think sometimes too, like when you get the curriculum, it has X, Y, Z, you know, all this information, and we fall into this trap that whatever curriculum I write for my group, meaning a lesson, we think it's got to be just as complicated or just as vast. And these people are paid to give you way more than maybe necessarily that you need, so that it can apply to as many groups as possible. And so hopefully you're hearing from Ben in, when you do your own, because I know you and I talked about this off camera. When you do your own, it doesn't have to be this crazy exhaustive process. You're right. Designing lessons. That's it for your group. That's what curriculum is. You're designing lessons for your group where they can interact with the word and learn, grow, and apply. Yeah. And sometimes I think as we approach curriculum and we're saying, well, I don't know if I can do this. Well, yeah, vast majority of us can't write a download youth ministry curriculum to the vastness in which they're doing. That's why they're paid professionals doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is called to do that. However, we can all read the word. And as we've been charged with leading youth in their faith, we can all design a lesson based on what God's word is saying for our group. And so that's what right there with you, encouraging you to not fall in the trap that the curriculum has to be very complicated, as well as that you don't always need a professional curriculum to preach and teach the word of God. And in fact, there's going to be many times where what you're going to come up with is going to be far better for your group because you know your group. The curriculum company doesn't know your group. Exactly. They don't know your youth. You do. Mm-hmm. And moreover, God, more importantly, God knows your youth far better than the curriculum company knows your youth. And so resting in that and wrestling with that and then asking that question, what's the theme? What is God wanting to say? And then leaning into that without getting lost in, I've got to have the, you know, 30 questions that are going to change their life and all this kind of stuff. Like, teach and have that conversation, I think, is one of the greatest pieces of wisdom that was given to me in releasing me from trying to reach an expectation that's just not there except by my own, you know, self.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. It's God has placed you in the midst of these students who you are shepherding.
Yes.
And you have eyes and ears and a heart and a mind to hear and to discern and to understand what it is that they need. And yes, you can then teach what is needed through curriculum by tweaking it and then pinpointing those areas where there really needs to be specific things that need to be addressed by creating your own stuff. And if you need help with that on creating that, talk to your senior pastor.
Right.
They're writing sermons every week.
Yep. Say,
how are you writing it? What's an outline look like?
That's
right.
So Ben.
What is this? Have them sit down.
Yep.
Right.
Because you can contextualize it. You can take the really good information and contextualize it for your group. That's exactly. Absolutely right. And bring in your own questions. I usually tell my leaders, when you're going through, because right now on Wednesday night, we're utilizing a book called Essential Truths of the Christian Life by Joel Van Hoogen. And it's really, really good. And like, I'm talking the foundation of a Christian's life, and the youth are eating it up. But as we go through it, every lesson, I'm asking my leaders, as you fill out, as you're reading through this, as you're interacting with it prior to, very important, prior to giving the lesson, write your own questions. Because we all do that. When we're reading or watching a podcast like you are right now, you're asking questions in your head. Well, what about, what do you think? What do you think? And there's a discussion that's naturally happening as we're trying to discern and understand. So I think that's super good. Talk to your senior pastor. Look through the outline. And then ask your own questions, and there you are. There's your lesson. Boom, rock and roll. Yep. It doesn't have to be that way every time, but a place to start from is super good.
When I first started as a youth pastor, I went to my senior pastor, and he gave me his manuscripts.
Yeah.
He would give me his manuscripts just so I could see how he was doing it. And then I could listen to that sermon and see how he's coming where he's getting to where he's coming from. Yeah. And that was very, very, very helpful. That's a good thing for any young youth pastor.
Very good.
Listen to your senior pastor and listen to other good teachers.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. So as we approach curriculum, right? We have to talk about, and it's unfortunate we have to talk about, when curriculum maybe goes a little rogue.
Right.
And as we approach curriculum, not all curriculum, is good. Not all curriculum has sound theology and so on. And I, for myself, this is a great time to do exactly what we were just talking about. If you're looking at a curriculum, go give it to your senior pastor. Mm-hmm. Go give it to your elders. So one of the best pieces of advice I ever got is, you have amazing leaders in your church. Leverage them. Utilize them. Tap into that. One, so that you get sound input, wisdom, but two, that you're not left on an island. If we go and we go, oh, I'm going to use this curriculum here, and we just take it and we plug it in, and it ends up having some bad theology, and we didn't talk to anyone. We didn't share it with our lead pastor. We didn't share it with our elders. Like, hey, this is what I'm planning on teaching. The opportunity for us to get in a place where we're like, oh no, oh no, what is happening?
Yeah.
Right? It grows. So for me, that was one of the best pieces of advice I got when approaching curriculum is, you have great leaders. Utilize them, utilize their wisdom, what they have experienced in their life, and send them that curriculum. Hey, this is what I'm looking at. Because if they shoot it down, great. That means you utilized your leaders in a way that kept you and your youth, most importantly, safe.
Yeah, they're protecting the body at that point, and yeah, that's exactly, and that's their what job. They're supposed to do.
Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it.
I did that with my children's ministry curriculum. Mm-hmm. We got it. I gave it to five trusted teachers.
Yes.
And said, does this work? And does this work for the age yeah, range right. as well?
Yep.
And that is so, so important. When you're looking at curriculum, have multiple eyes on it, and you're looking to make sure that it's theologically sound. Unfortunately, we're living in a world where there is some curriculum that is teaching bad theology, and we got to be mindful of that. Also, there's curriculum out there that is just moralistic and just about talking about just good moral teachings, like be a kind person, be good, and instead of real.
If you're feeling sad, then do these things. What about God?
Exactly. Exactly.
If you're sitting there looking at a curriculum saying, well, what about God? We should have a serious discussion about that curriculum.
Hey, I'm not interested in good moral teaching. I'm interested in real biblical spiritual transformation.
Yes. Yes.
And that is what is needed.
Yep.
And if we're just teaching good morals, then we're no different than the world.
Yeah, the do's and the don'ts of a Christian life. If that's all we're teaching and there's no true relationship or interaction with Jesus, we're missing.
Yeah, it just becomes behavior modification.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, that's not what we want. I'm actually not sorry at all. We want real transformation.
Yeah.
I think too, when you're using when a curriculum can go bad too, is when it does just become this moralistic thing, and not to go overly spiritual, but to remember to, as you're teaching and preaching, that the Holy Spirit is moving.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is working, and to make sure that you're opening up the door biblically to allow the Holy Spirit to transform lives.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be lost in curriculum too.
I'm going to shout out one of my youth leaders right now. We were just on a youth trip, went to the Next conference in Minnesota at the beginning of March here, and we were just talking about youth, and she made the statement, if they could just understand how much Jesus loves them, like truly know, truly, truly know, not just knowledge-based, but believe it and move into it, that Jesus loves them and created them for a purpose on purpose, what would that look like? And that's what I would say. If you have a curriculum that touches on that, that hits that says, this is who Jesus is. This is who he says you are. And this is the relationship he wants to have with you. And we can capture that, and youth actually lean into that. These morals that we're worried about, as we should be, right? We shouldn't lie. We shouldn't steal. We shouldn't, you know, all these do's and don'ts. If they capture this,
right,
Jesus loving them, wanting to have a relationship with them, if they truly capture that, can't we trust that Jesus is going to move in that and bring healing and correct these other, what we would call bad behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get lost in the weeds where we're saying, well, we got to do this. We got to do this. We got to do this. And then they won't. And it's like, no, Jesus, it's Jesus. And mm-hmm. to me, it breaks my own heart, because I know there's times in my own ministry where I maybe wasn't trusting the one who created me to do that.
Mm.
And I felt this weight that it's my responsibility to correct the gossip, to correct the disrespect, to correct. And no, my job is to help them really develop a relationship with the one who created them, and to lean into the one who can save them. No one else.
Yeah.
Only Jesus.
Yeah.
And then can I trust Jesus to continue to bring that renewal, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, I appreciate that candidness, and Harry, I love it. I couldn't agree more. Let's put it this way. Our students and any human being, including us, we don't need just a little soap on the outside. We need total renovation of our hearts. And any teaching must be giving that as the reality, that to my core, I need to be transformed, and that can only happen through Christ, and that's the only way. And it brings us to this, in any teaching, in any curriculum, anything, who is the center? Is it about me? Is it about humanity, or is it about God?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep.
It's not the world revolves around me. We live in a world where that's the way that it is, but it is Christ is the center, and we get to revolve around him. Yes. We're in his orbit, and that's what we need, is your curriculum pointing people back to the true source, to the author and perfecter of our faith, and that's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what matters.
I love it. We're going to end it right there, cuz that is it. I don't want to say anything else about it. You nailed it. And we are so happy that you listened today to the Third Thursday podcast. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that we have an amazing event coming up for the Rocky Mountain District youth leaders, called our Youth Leader Weekend, on April 19th through the 21st at Yellowstone Alliance Adventures in Bozeman, Montana. This is, again, for all RMD youth leaders. We're going to be having a guest speaker, Ken Caster, coming. If you don't know who Ken Caster is, message us, and I'd love to share with you a ton. You can go and look him up. He is a phenomenal, phenomenal warrior for the youth.
To know, or go Jesus. And listen to our last podcast where we had him on the episode, and it was incredible.
Yes, he was a featured guest last podcast episode.
If you're hearing this and you're able to come to
self-promotion,
come on.
Yeah.
This isn't self-promotion. This is just Ken Caster's a great...
Amen.
He's got great stuff.
Yes.
This is a really awesome opportunity to be resourced. I highly, highly recommend it.
We had a phenomenal conversation with him on the last episode, so definitely go check that out. And then you can register at rmdcma.com/youth. And I would tell you, that page there, Chris Tweedy, our assistant to the district superintendent here in the Rocky Mountain District, has done a phenomenal job putting all that together. I think Lindsay Wiggins helped with that too. rmdcma.com/youth. Great resources there, and you can also register for the Youth Leader Weekend. We'd love to see you there. As always, we want to end with three questions. As we discuss curriculum, how does this affect you and your leaders? Think about it. Ask that question to you. Ask that question to your leaders. How does picking curriculum affect us? How does it affect our students? And lastly, how is God, most importantly, being honored through all of this? And so with that, I want to thank you, Ben, for joining me again on such an awesome time together discussing curriculum or hard pass.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Harry. Love it.
Yep. So have a great rest of your day, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Third Thursday podcast. We hope you feel connected, encouraged, and equipped to reach students with the gospel. You can find more resources at rmdcma.com/youth. If this content was helpful for you, make sure to share it with a friend. See you next time.